More of us are living longer than ever before. Families are stretching across three, sometimes four generations, and for a growing number of people, adulthood now comes with an unexpected shift, becoming the carer for the person who once cared for you. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Shane Beattie. Well, I was listening last week to an episode of the Call Her Daddy podcast that really stuck with me because it was all about this idea of parenting your parents. And it clearly struck a nerve because it went everywhere with people sharing it, talking about it and recognising themselves in it. And that's probably because the podcast named something that a lot of people are going through but maybe haven't quite put into words. That moment when you realise you're not just the son or daughter anymore, maybe you're the one organising things, keeping an eye or making decisions and perhaps worrying in a way you never had to before. And at the same time, your own life doesn't pause. Work is still there, kids perhaps, and jobs to do around the house. There's a kind of quiet pressure to it and probably something that we don't talk about enough. What it feels like emotionally to watch your parents get older and to realise the relationship is changing, whether you're ready for that or not. Clinical psychologist Dr. Eddie Murphy is with me. Eddie, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Jane, thanks very much. A very important topic to be discussing, and I really appreciate you asking me, and hopefully we can get some insights together for our listeners.
Yeah, and it is something that is not spoken about enough, we'll say, out in the media, but yet lots of friends groups are talking about it. And that's what we're saying. It's kind of a quiet pressure that a lot of people are feeling and no one's talking about publicly.
Look, there's definitely a pressure involved. Sometimes we see this call, it's called sometimes the sandwich generation. That's for people who are caring for both their elderly parents and caring for their own children. Or for many people, they may just doing caring for their elderly parents. So it's an area that I've experienced of because we've just come out of a number of years periods with my own siblings caring for our own parents. So hopefully we have a good discussion today and get some clarity. I'm not fully into the parenting your parents. I get that model of what we're talking about, but really, there's a number of things I hope we can touch on today. What we're trying to do, I always think about it. My background was in physical care. I was a nurse before I was a psychologist. So you're trying to support people's autonomy, your parents' autonomy, while they're maybe in a health decline or they need more support. It's like the seesaw. It's the tipping balance. And there's a lot of tensions with that. And
yes,
it can have emotional impact and lots of things. So we'll go through that today.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I want to go through is probably the realization a lot of people have, realizing your parents are actually human beings. Because if you've had a very good upbringing and no major trauma or whatever, you kind of think that your parents are perfect and that they don't ever rely on you for help and they've been helping you all their lives. And there's that sort of shift where then you have to realise that your parents are human beings who have needs and they need you.
Indeed. And I suppose I do think people do recognise their parents are human beings. But what's different now is that there's a level of dependency. What I think the realisation for children and adult children and I'm going to say ourselves is that we see our parents as vulnerable, not necessarily as human beings, but we see them with more vulnerability than we're used to, because normally they're fully autonomous, getting on with things, you're getting on with things. And then we're looking around and going, oh, well, actually, there's a bit of vulnerability here, and we're going to have to try to manage that. And that leads to, it can be a role reversal when adult children are trying to look after their parents. They can feel guilt or grief or resentment, and sometimes all at loss, and parents themselves can feel a loss of dignity and control. So in a way, both sides are grieving something. Effectively, it's a loss, even if nobody wants to name it.
Mm. Now, you mentioned you and your siblings recently went through this with your own parents. Can you tell us your experience of going through that?
Yeah, so both my mum and dad passed away now, that's three years. My mum got sick. She was very active and healthy, got sick. And we were quite shocked that she went into like a fast decline, if you want. But my dad developed cognitive dementia and he needed a lot of support. He was 91 when he passed away. And so we navigated as a family, because I think this is the first thing, if we're going to learn some ways around this, is trying to preserve somebody's autonomy, but also there's a tipping point where individuals might need hospital care, additional physical care, nursing home care. And these are always junctures that are fraught. And quite often, actually, the core area is to have these conversations in advance around whatever it is. If it's around finances, it's around driving, it's around health decisions, it's around living arrangements. What typically, and I see this happening because I work in healthcare, is often a fall happens or a hospital admissions happens. And then all these rapid decisions are made in a crisis situation. And that can be very challenging. So how, I suppose, if there's some core skills or messaging here, is it how can we start having these conversations early so that we're not waiting for a crisis to preserve? And then I think it's important that we don't take over everything. You know, you preserve autonomy of your parents and you don't take away all their choices. And you support that in independence, even when it's in decline, if that makes sense.
It's a tough one. My mother has dementia, and it's one of those things where you're trying to, yes, protect their autonomy, and also they are still your parent. But even just when you're speaking there, like I pick my mother up from a day centre, and sometimes it feels like I'm picking her up from nursery or creche. And it's a big psychological adjustment, and I don't need to tell you this, to think that you feel like you're picking your own mother up from a creche that she dropped you to. And then you're wondering, do we all retreat to our childhood selves? It's not an easy one.
It's definitely not an easy one. And this is so important, right? That for caring has emotional consequences. It has risks of burnout. And a lot of carers are very stressed and burnout. And the psychological evidence would show that. And this is a big shout that to call and mobilize as much help as you can get. And sometimes there can be a sticky point, like parents might want support or home help or carers coming into the house. And some family members might say, oh, I'll do this. And quite often they're left with the burden and there's a martyr or whatever. And we were very fortunate in our family situation that we were able to collectively discuss the care and shared care, including home helps that came into the house. I always say till the medical needs are and the caring needs and the nursing needs of the individual are higher than the family can provide.
Yes.
I mean, I really welcome the opportunity. I often talk to carers associations or to different groups, happily talk about how you can plan this more effectively. I actually think there's, well, I give a shout out to in the HSC, in the primary care services, and there's often social workers in primary care services that are very good at linking at how to navigate families and support systems and mechanisms. Brokering, they call it. Like, how do you broker this? Particularly if families are at war or if there's tension or conflict, or it can be very difficult.
And it can be very difficult if one of the siblings doesn't have the same relationship with the parents as the others do. And then you're trying to understand why this sibling isn't pulling their weight or whatever. It really is a minefield. Just can I ask you, because you've gone through this experience with both parents relatively recently, did you ever get angry with your parents that they put you in this position?
No, I didn't get angry with them that they put me into that position. No, but you would get frustrated. Like if you're with an individual with dementia, of course, you're going to get frustrated and you might get angry with systems like, why isn't this happening or why can't I get more support? Or the way our structures are set up is we nursing home is sort of an inevitable sort of ending for some people. Whereas if you put the same resources into home care, you wouldn't necessarily need that nursing home care. So, but I think you asked specifically, did you get angry with the individual? No, but there's definitely stress and frustration and upset. And really, you see, what's happening there, Shane, is, and I'll just go and tip into the psychology side of it, is it's called anticipatory grief. With dementia, you're grieving because you're grieving the person, your parent. You're grieving that loss. You're grieving that connection and that relationship. It's like a mini debt before there's a debt, if that makes sense. And with grief, then anger is part of grief. It's a normal part of grief, anger, and why my family, why did they live such a good life and some people don't, you know, they smoke and drink and they live for it longer. And yeah, and here's my parent and they lived a healthy life. And so we go into that bargaining or whatever. This is all very, very normal. But what I would say is you need to set boundaries. You need to mobilize resources. You need to, I think it's hard for children too, like just picking up on one of your other points there. And I'm glad to be able to get a more extended discussion on this. But, you know, there are children that live overseas. There are kids, children that live, adults that are living away from home. So your parent could be down in the country and they're in an urban area, like one of the cities. So it can be very tricky, you know. And then if you have somebody left in the geography, quite often they're left with that extra burden of caring. So sometimes families, like that's where I think there's a real space for somebody to navigate this, to support families, to try and say, look, this is how we might balance the caring needs. This is how we have contingency plans. So that's some of the core areas, like effectively you're almost acting like a co-pilot with your parents. You're there to support, to guide, to step in when needed, but you don't take over the controls.
Yeah, I'm glad there's a phrase for it, anticipatory grief. I wasn't familiar with it, but it sounds like it's also you're getting ready to let them go, or you're acknowledging that they've changed and that part of them. It's very tricky. I mean, again, just to give my own example of this, like my mother would have been my biggest supporter from day one. Every time I was on television, she'd be the first one to ring. She'd listen to me on the radio every day. Now she doesn't know how to use a phone, so she can't ring me. She doesn't know I'm on the radio. Even this week, there was a piece I did in the Irish Examiner and I brought it into her and she was reading the newspaper upside down, you know, and it's just, you go, God, that part is gone.
Yeah, it can be. Sometimes in reminiscent work, there's with dementia and older adults care, there's reminiscence. So you can bring in, you can re-trigger memory through music, through sensory thing, quite often music of that period or photographs from old periods. So for example, I'm not saying, but and obviously I don't know your mama how far her dementia is, but you can bring in old clippets or something from your radio when you were in KFM or something like that, and the jingle and stuff like that. And she'd go, oh, I remember you were on that, and whatever. You can trigger old memories like that. There's little, what we call islets of times with individuals with dementia, and that reminiscence therapy is a form of therapy that's used to try and regenerate them, because the older memories are more intact. And with dementia, people can't form new memories. I know that's a different conversation.
But yeah, and also I suppose you have to lean into the positives with your parents at whatever stage they are and appreciate how they are in this day. They may not be the same as they were, but the fact that they're still with you. And like I remember Christmas Day, my mother asked who I was. She didn't know who I was. But then half an hour later, absolutely did. I was having the crack. And you have to, I suppose, see the positives. I wanted to ask you something. It's kind of a weird question, but given the fact that both your parents have now passed on, and I know you're not a teenager here, but do you feel like an orphan?
No, I don't know. People use different phrases, all that first Christmas, or you feel like an orphan. Or so. I remember someone said that to me. No, because I think what you do is you integrate your parents into your mind. And you, for example, we'd be watching the football the other night and we'd be going, oh, gee, there's Ireland. They give you the soaring heart and the collapse and, you know, all these emotions. So what I think you do is you integrate your parents. So like you think about them, like you think about your mom and dad and what they do in certain situations. So they continue to live with you, but in a different way. That's the way I look at it. I've never used that phrase of orphan or bereft. You've grief and loss, and I've recent grief with my dad, more recent, it was last October. But so you carry that loss with you, but you in your mindset, you can have conversations, or you can talk to them, or what would they do in this situation, or whatever it is. So I think you carry the person with you, but I don't feel abandoned or an orphan, no.
Obviously, the whole reason we're talking about this is so many adults now are getting used to the idea of the shift in their parents' relationship and maybe having to care for their parents more. I'm just wondering, now you've come out the other side, if you could tell people, is it a compliment or is it a privilege that this happens, that you care for the parents? Is it a sign of how they prepared you for life that you're able to care for them?
You see, I think that's all so challenging, Shane, because everybody's relationship with their parents are different. Like, I remember in therapy with Mary, and Mary would say, I love my mother, but I don't like her. You know, so that relationship was strained from a very early stage. Or, you know, that, as I say, that family members that can be living overseas and their parents are in decline at home. So it can be a different journey and difficult for everybody. And I know you used the word positive earlier on, and then privileged now to care for your parents, but I don't really see it like that. I think they're words that are often thrown around. I think caring is hard. It's challenging. It's stressful. So it's what helps that is around trying to get as best you can, get your support system in place. If it's family, friends, paid carers, healthcare supports, having good decisions made in advance. Like if it's, advanced care directives, that can be really helpful, where a person writes about their own care needs and future medical treatment, so that protects their autonomy and dignity and stuff like that. I know people, oh, it's a privilege. It's anyone that's caring knows it's damn hard work. Mm. They feel like platitudes, oh, it was a privilege and stuff like that. Oh, well, I'm not in that phase yet anyway.
Right.
Like, I take pride in how my brother and my two sisters and myself, we had a system in place. We shared out the care. We were able to talk about it. We were able to go out and walk and talk and come up. We had like family meetings. As the care needs got higher, we were making decisions. There was reluctance. My dad was reluctant to go into hospital if he was sick. And how do you manage that? And how do you trigger that? All of that type of thing. So I just think it's hard.
What if you are not even caring full time for your parents, but just more aware of having to help them and you're watching their decline maybe? What if you're scared that you'll end up like what you're seeing, how your parents have ended up? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, well, okay. So that's looking into our own lives, and we're fundamentally, if you think about it, like people, we don't like to think about our own trajectory, but the whole thing is you try and be as healthy. We talk about what's called quality of life here. So you want to have a high quality life for as long as you can, but inevitably we're going to have a period of decline. A lot of people now have chronic type illnesses. They have like arthritis, diabetes. 50% of people are going to get cancer. I do a lot of work with the Irish Cancer Society, Super Society, and 50% of people are going to experience cancer. Most people will survive. Most people will live well with and beyond cancer. So I know we want to sort of turn a blind eye to a lot of that, because that denial is one way of coping with it, but also having conversations with our kids, hopefully when they're a little bit older, having supports in place, putting structures in place around designing where we live. I think there's a fabulous, is it Kilnace or Newbridge, a living service, a yes. Living centre where everybody has their own front door, but they're in the heart of the town. And they're able to connect with the community. They're able to walk out, have a coffee and stuff like that. But their support services in place.
Yeah, like, Macaulay Place in Nice. Yeah, it's incredible.
So Macaulay Place is a very interesting place. We don't have enough Macaulay Places around the country. We're planning for nursing home care. And you're either at home, a minimal amount of home care, or now you're needing nursing home care. Where we need structures like Macaulay Place, which is independent living for our senior citizens, but in a supported group environment. Because we know a lot of our senior citizens, there's isolation, loneliness is a key feature. And I suppose if you think about it, this is where our future lies.
Yeah.
It's in our interest to get more of these places around. We have the model. It's just that we're not replicating it. So we're putting our whatever tax funding and tax breaks into nursing homes and not into fabulous places like independent living for seniors in our community, where everyone has their own front door, sure, but it's in our mind it a little bit.
Just finally to ask you, I know you as an expert will tell me and people like me who are in some way parenting our parents that you have to protect yourself, protect your mental health, have boundaries, you can't take it all on. What if you feel selfish thinking that?
Good question. It's not selfish for self-care. I'm going to take off the expert hat, because this is the living with experience piece that many people and have shared the same journey as others. Self-care is not selfish. And I know, because I've done a lot of work around how you support yourself, whether you're in a nursing or teaching profession or stuff like that. So self-care, you cannot pour from an empty cup.
Mm-hmm. Fill your own cup up first.
Self-care is what nourishes us to go in to support others. If we're not engaged in self-care, we lose compassion. And that's where then people can become a little bit more harsh and punitive in supporting others, or harsh towards themselves. And that self-care could be, for some people, it could be a glass of wine on a Friday night. It could be going out for a walk, a talk. It could be walking your dog, or just having a cat or dog on your lap. Self-care can be anything that what it means to you, where you're replenishing yourself, where you're nurturing yourself, supporting yourself.
Okay, well, Eddie, I feel like I've done a counselling session with you. Thank you so much for joining us here on News Talk Daily. Dr. Eddie Murphy, clinical psychologist, thank you very much. And as we've heard there from Eddie, it's not always straightforward, certainly not talked about enough, but is increasingly part of modern life, that idea of parenting your parents. So if it is something you're going through, you're certainly not the only one. Myself and Eddie, two examples there. That is it for today's News Talk Daily. If you've been affected by anything you heard, or if you want to share your own experience, you can get in touch by email newstalkdaily@newstalk.com. Ciara Doherty will be back here tomorrow, but for now, from me, Shane Beattie, thanks for listening.